The edits, the last one went up, and it was talking about being in the furnace of afflictions. And I believe that's where God's got us right now. I believe God's got us right now at the very door of the furnace of afflictions. Grab your Bibles and turn with the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. In this late day in which we live, honest to goodness, God is blessing, God is moving. God is trying His best to get our attention, not only as a church, but as a family. He's getting my attention as the husband and the head of my household, and also as a Christian and as a preacher and as a pastor. I believe God's trying to wake us up to something. I believe Brother Timmy's trying to give us a little bit of a spiritual renewal. Do you realize I've been wanting to have a revival for the last 3 months, but God has not let me schedule one? And he gives me a thought, and I go a certain way. And I even mentioned in the men's prayer room, it's going to be different this year. And God's never let me pull the trigger just yet. You say, well, why is that? I don't know. You talk to God about it. I ain't even got a schedule. I ain't got one on the schedule. I even told the Ford family, they asked me when I thought it would be. I said, I believe it'll be in the first full week of the month of November. I'm not even sure about that anymore. But I will tell you this, we are getting revived. It's just a little bit. Brother Ken Fortner's not here tonight that I see back there. But Brother Ken said, hey, Brother Ken back there, he said, preacher, he said, you've been preaching here lately. And I said, well, just give God the glory. And Brother Tim, it was as if he was saying, you know, it was a little different as of late. And I feel that as of late. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all that came to this church a little bit late, a little bit later than others. I'm telling you what, you come at a time in my ministry. You come at a time in the history of this church. Brother Tim Anderson and all of you folks that's joined as of late, you come at a time when we needed you. We needed an infusion of prayer warriors. And I mean, it seemed like, Miss Jenny, God was taking our saints out. I mean, they were slowly slipping out of here when Brother Earl left, and Miss Linda got sick and passed away. And then Brother Woody's been sick a lot here lately, and this one and that one. They started just kind of slipping out, Brother Grant. It started to worry me a little bit. I said, bless God, what are we going to fill this place up with? If God removes the gold out of these pews, are we going to end up with brass? And my friend, that scares me as a pastor to death. Why? Because gold, as it is, it shines. You don't have to do anything to it. I've never took that thing to an emery wheel. I've never took that thing to a polishing cloth. And Brother Keith Handy, that thing shines just like it does today. Miss Cindy put it on my finger 31 plus years ago. But if I'd have put a brass ring on there, I'd have had a green finger, and I'd have to be polishing that thing all the time. And so it is in the church pews of God's house. Bless God, if you put brass where the gold once sit, the pastor's going to spend more time going around polishing people, trying to keep them happy and keep them in their proper place than, bless God, he ever had. But God sent a little infusion of new blood. He started sending people in, and not just people, but people that were praying, people that were hungry, people that were serving. Brother Ryan, you come at a time when this preacher was at a low, and you can ask my friends back there toward the back. Brother Clayton is one of my dearest friends in this world. And Brother Clayton knows how low that I got. My wife knows how low I got. And about time I hit that rock, and that rock was Christ, that's how low I got. I got on the rock bottom, Brother Kenny. And bless God, when I got there, hey, wasn't but one thing to do, that's stand up. And whenever I stood up, I found out, Brother Troy Barron, that I was standing on the rock of ages. That old rock, the stone that the builders rejected. Bless God, I was standing right where I needed. And I looked around, and here comes this little boy by the name of Troy Barron. Hadn't seen you. Didn't know you from Adam, except maybe I seen you through some social media. And I sitting up there one night, and I looked out across the congregation right back there where Lori Burgess is in, and right there's another godly couple that God sent here. Thank God for you and the couple behind you and on back through there. I looked back through, and I said, that looks like my niece. And I said, that is my niece. I said, what in the world are they doing here? Honestly, that's what I thought. I go back there and hug their necks and hug Miss Carrie's neck. And next thing I know, it wasn't just Carrie and Troy. I bless God. The next thing I know, here comes my little baby brother through here. And he started getting my Christmas cards and stealing my gifts and all that. And I said, Lord, convict him. Help him, but don't let him steal my stuff. And next thing I know, here's his wife. And next thing I know, my wife's got a sister that she's never had. And she found it in you. She's found it in Miss Robin. And bless God, here you go. And in the I look around, there's Mimi. Mimi come right out of cancer. Honey, do you remember whenever you said you didn't have a pastor that really come to see you and there wasn't nobody coming to visit? Best God didn't, me and that old boy come trudging down the hallway. Here comes Shrek and Donkey and we off on another journey. And here we come and we walked in there and had prayer with you. Next thing I know, best God, here you are. You say, what's that all about, preacher? I'm telling you, my friend, this church is poised for something great. His church is set for the time to go ahead that your children and your children's children might grow up and say, bless God, I remember how it used to be back in the old days, around 2018. Man, God showed up at that place. You know, we got to go back to the old days. Well, this is the old days for my children. This is the old days for little Samuel and Elizabeth. This is the old days for Connor and Elena Grace. This is the old day for them. What are they going to remember about it? Where'd all that come from? Let's read our scripture in Daniel. In the book of Daniel here in chapter number 3, let me catch you up. Government's trying to make the people do things that goes against the people's religious beliefs. Government is telling the people, namely Nebuchadnezzar, he's telling the people, you're going to do certain things. If you don't, you're going to pay the price. Is that not where we are at? You're going to do what we say to do. And I'm telling you what, I've never seen a time just like we're looking at, my friends. It's a strange day to be a Christian. It's a strange day to align yourself to something moral. It's a strange day to align yourself with uprightness of God. Because when you do that, you almost immediately become a labeled person. You become a bigot. You become a hater. You become one of the intolerant people. But we know who's intolerant. It's those that are anti-Christ. It's those that are against God. But as the government so goes, and you got certain factions that would take this book out of our hand if they had the right to do it, and if they could do it. But bless God, don't let them do it. Hide it in your heart. Let's read our scriptures, and then I'll let you be seated. I'll preach a whole message with y'all standing. I'm going to pick up the reading in verse number 15. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, our God who touched Tim Anderson, our God who put it in a mother and daddy's heart who had lost a daughter, that now lost a son, that put it in their heart to donate the kidney to a young man by the name of Tommy McGlamory, that same God that's driving their, directing their paths and driving their motivation, the same doctors that maybe scratched their head could get saved if they're not already saved by the same God that touched Brother Tim Anderson. But anyway, it's that same God here. And he said, but if not, be it known, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Have you not seen some people getting mad out of the latter day of what's going on? I mean, people are downright mad. And they're mad for a reason. They cannot stand moral uprightness of heart. They cannot stand the right. The Bible teaches us that the fool's heart is on his left, but God in his wisdom is on the right. And that's found in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you need it, look it up. But anyway, there's some people are mad. They're full of fury. And they're full of fury because of people like us. They said that old Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace once 7 times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the mighty men, they that were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, with their hats and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now you say, why did he put that verse in there? Because it was a hot fire. Otherwise, you might say, well, it wasn't really hot. Yeah, it was hot. Those that would carry them three in were dead. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo. I don't believe it was lo. I believe it was lo. I believe it was lo. What in the world's going on here? I see four men. They're no longer bound. But the Bible said they are loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt in the form of the fourth. It's like one of the sons of the gods. He looks like the Son of God. Brother Troy, ask God to bless his son. And let me just say that how many of you with an amen or an oh me or a shake of your head or a raising of your hand or whatever, how many of you have ever felt like that you have been in that fire of affliction? I bless God you're looking at one, Brother Derek Bumgarner. Sure as I'm standing before you, I have been in the fires of affliction. And Brother Kenny, I know you have. Brother Chris, you have. Brother Troy, you have. And if the Lord lets you stand and continue to preach, let me just tell you that what you stand upon, Brother Keith and Brother Derek and Brother Archie, what you stand upon, it's going to get you into the heat from time to time. It's going to cost you a little bit of discomfort. It's going to cost you a little bit of to get a little bit of moral clarity of thought. It's going to cost you to have to wonder, is this really worth it? But I can assure you upon the authority of God's word, it's worth it. 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 I bless God, just keep on going because Brother Tim, it's worth it. And you say, what's it worth? I'm telling you, people don't like to hear when they come to the church house, Brother Steve, what you put on there, that men ought to know how they ought to behave when thou goest into the house of God. People don't like to be told how to behave. Why? Because behaviors need to be changed, and they don't like to hear that. You take a preacher coming into the house of God, and he starts preaching on modesty, and you said, is that in the Bible? I believe that it is, and if you were to turn and you wanted to look, and that would be found in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 9. What keeps Calvary holy? What keeps this place holy? It's because we're not afraid to preach on modesty. And bless God, some of you come in here, and if you got more hanging in than you got hanging out, and bless God, you got more hanging out than you got hanging in, and it's all over the place. Let me tell you, modesty matters. If you don't want somebody to look, then don't advertise it. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Ryan. The problem with today is, bless God, that people don't care. They don't respect the house of God, and they'll come right in here wearing the worst things possible. Let me tell you a little secret on that. And I'll just use you. I'll use me. I'll use my daughter or my wife. Bless God, if you go to church and it calls every eye in the place to go like this, guess what? You're not drawing attention to God. If you come in here, and I'm, honey, come here just a minute. Come here, Miss Shirley. I just happened to look at you. Come here, honey. You said use your own wife. I'd rather use his wife. I don't got to go home with her. Come over here just a minute. Bless God, I want you to look at a modestly apparelled woman, and I get Cindy up here. She's the same way. Look here. You can't see. You got a little bit of skin from here to here. You got a little bit. I don't know. Your dress, your skirt might be just a little bit too short. They said that about Grace Johnson. Bless her heart. Y'all know Brother Chesley, Miss Grace. You probably knew him. Old preacher Chesley, Miss Grace has gone on to glory right now. She used to wear them down to the floor. And somebody said something about her being too short. But what I want to say, honey, go over there and you can go ahead and sit down. But I want to tell you this. I bless God, Brother Tim, when I preach on modesty matters and that you ought not be showing more skin than you should. Bless God, you know what? That'll get you real quick. That'll get you to the furnace of affliction real quick because somebody said, he shouldn't get all legalistic right now. I'm not preaching tonight about you wearing your scrubs or you wearing your breeches. Bless God, some of you in breeches are more appareled than that which got everything hanging out. But what I'm telling you is this. You start preaching about these matters and the next thing you know, you're looking for a place to preach. Why? Because they ain't nobody calling you anymore. Brother Chris, they got Brother Felman Cheek at a church that I used to go to, Brother Graham, and they said that man will never come back down here. God is my witness. I heard it from my own mouth. They said he'll never come back down here. Why? Because they said he's just too downright mean. Let me tell you, I bless God, being modest and preaching against modesty, preaching against sexual immorality, where the Bible says to flee fornication, you start preaching against that stuff, and that'll end up with you being in a furnace of affliction. Why? Because people just don't want to hear it anymore. And Miss Cindy can back me up. I used to go 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks at a time without one night off. Ain't that right, honey? Preaching till I couldn't even preach. And those people from Mountain Valley, if Kim and Judy were here, would know what I'm talking about. Brother Kenny, used to be revival after revival after revival after revival. Why don't they call me anymore, Brother Troy? I'll tell you why. Because, bless God, there are people don't want to hear about the things that I preach about anymore. But I'm going to preach it if a hairless the devil, Nebuchadnezzar, never devil in hell. I'm going to preach it if it cost me a place in the fiery furnace. Amen. You might as well preach. Yeah. I'm known as a preacher. Yes. Am I not called a preacher? Right. What do y'all call me around here? Preacher Mark. That's what you call me, Preacher Mark. Why wouldn't I preach then? But I'm telling you what, when you start preaching against these things, let me tell you, in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 20, in verse number 1, it got Friendly Grove, it got Shady Grove, it got Pleasant Grove, it got Bethel, it got Calvary, it got every one of us called out in this great big public ed, this op-ed piece in the newspaper, Brother Graham, not too awful long ago, when they were trying to put that new ABC store up there by Blimpies. We took out a full-page ad in the newspaper, we put our money where our mouth is, and we said that ought not to be. And what did we base it on? We base it upon Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 1, where it says that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Brother Kippy, what's that all about? What that did, we were standing up against the ill effects of alcohol. You show me one good thing that ever come out of that in the Bible, and I'll eat your Bible. Brother Ryan, it's not in there. You look at the people that got drunk. Look at Noah's family after that. What was that all about? It was drunkenness to the excess, and here they are. But you know what that did? It got us branded. It got people against us, and it put the pastors of those churches, Brother Feldman, Brother Phil, me, whoever does it. Best God, you'll end up in a fiery furnace of affliction because of the stand that you take. People don't like it. They don't want to hear it. Proverbs 6:17 says, in that pasture leading up to that, there's some things that the Lord hates. Hands that shed innocent blood is one of them. Yeah, but preacher, just because you're pro-life doesn't mean that we can't be pro-choice. You be pro-choice all you want to, but you're pro-choice on a trip straight to a devil's hell. You cannot tell me that you're saved. You cannot convince me that you are saved and tell me that you're pro-choice. You cannot, up to the 9th month. Bless God, you take Miss Carrie. Honey, how big's your baby now? I know y'all measure them by kiwis and bananas and cucumbers and squash. What's yours now? About an avocado? You got a banana. Bless God, we've got a banana over here. Have I got anybody bigger than a banana? I know if Shanda was here, she had a watermelon. Well, she had her watermelon, but anyway, do you see what I'm saying? Do you realize that the very week before Miss Shanda Ardner went down there and had her baby, Miss Jenny, in all 50 states, she could have went down there and said, I want rid of this. Brother Archie, stand up just a minute. Archie, right now, stick it out like you're supposed to. With that thing, come here. Turn around. Turn around, Brother Archie. Look, with that little thing kicking and doing your belly like that, you know how it is, Miss Jenny. You feel that knee. You feel that elbow. In all 50 states in this great country we live in, Brother Tim, it's okay for a doctor to go up in there and suck the brains out of that little baby, collapse that little thing's skull, and pull that thing out one arm. It's legal. you in all 50 states, bless God. And whenever you say you're for that, because I'm pro-choice, bless God, you are headed to hell because you're lost. You can't kill me, because that's the Bible said. That's one thing God hates. Amen. He said he hates hands that shed. What kind of blood? What kind of blood? Is there anything more innocent than a baby inside of its mother's womb? You said, but I'm pro-choice. What about that baby's choice? That's another body. You don't believe it's another body? Bless God, it likely has a different blood type than you do. You can be an A positive. It can be an O positive. You can be an A positive, be an A negative. Bless God, it's another whole body. It's got a brain. It's got a heart. It's got 10 toes and 10 fingers. It's got 2 eyes and 2 ears. You can't tell me that's not a baby, Ryan. You crush an eagle's egg anywhere in these same 50 states. You destroy an eagle's egg. Destroy the nest. That's going to cost you $5,000 really quick. You know what that's going to be, Ryan? That's $5,000. If you choose not to pay the $5,000, you can do 5 years in a slinky. You can do that if you want to. You can kill an eagle or blow an eagle's egg, nest up, brother. And you know what? You're going to look at $5,000 right off the bat. But you can kill a baby 10 minutes before it's born. And that's legal. You preach against that, Preacher Kenny. That'll get you in the furnace. Because I'm taking away somebody's rights. I'm taking away that woman's right. You said, well, preacher, what about the cases of rape, incest? What about those cases? And what about those things? I'm not God. I believe every life's created by God Almighty. But even if you give that to them, Brother Kenny, it's less than 1/1,000th of a percent. That's how narrow that thing is. You preach that, though. Brother Chris, you become targeted, bigoted. That'll get you thrown into a furnace really quickly. Why? Because people don't believe the way you believe. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Everything is so politically correct. You know what, Melissa, I hate that term, politically correct. Makes me want to barf. It really does. We don't even have, how many holiday trees do y'all put up now? Do y'all call them holiday trees? Keith, when are we going to get those holiday trees out? Huh? You can't say that. Merry Christmas! She puts up 9 of those holiday trees. It's a shame and a disgrace when you have to change the name of a tree on one of the most festive times of the year from a Christmas tree to a holiday tree. It's a shame and a disgrace when walking down the courthouse square and people are offended because there's a manger scene. But they can walk by a pornographic magazine store or a video store or all the the little things that go out there, and they don't even blink an eye. They might stop and look in that window. That doesn't offend them. But that manger, now that thing got to go. Who in the right mind would put a manger on the public courthouse square? That's crazy. That'll get you in a furnace. In Isaiah chapter number 5, if you found your places right there, my friends, we're living right where Isaiah prophesied about. In verse number 18, he's pronounced woe. If you haven't looked at that, he pronounces woe on everybody until he finally sees the Lord over in Isaiah's commissioning of in chapter number 6. Then it was woe is me. But in verse number 19, it says, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is that not what they've done? Look what the next verse says. Woe unto them that are mighty, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. The Bible says that all the ways of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord is pondering the heart. That's what's happened. They've called evil good and good evil. My friends, if you do good in this day, you're an evil person. You try to stand for something, and you're labeled. I'm surprised that there hasn't been some censoring of the internet when these messages come out of these old fundamental independent Baptist churches, and we have our own broadcast on a website, or we have a place to play it through YouTube or other social media networks. I'm surprised, Brother Ryan, somebody hadn't said, get that off of there. Maybe a Mark Zuckerberg said, I don't want that on my platform. And because he says, I don't want that on my platform, then somebody else says, so I don't want it on mine. And the next thing you know, it's like a snowball, and it just kind of goes downhill. They say, well, we don't want it on ours. Next thing you know, guess what? That preacher's in the furnace of affliction. We got Brother John Caldwell, a missionary to Canada. And he undergoes the total times of tiptoeing around the Scripture so that he can preach the homosexual Scriptures and passages of the Scriptures. Because just last week, another one of the Canadian missionaries were hauled off to jail for public preaching against sodomy. You said, yeah, but that's Canada. We're down here in the land of plenty, in the land of gracious freedoms. Who said that? Whoever said it, you're right, brother, it's coming. It's coming. Starts out on the West Coast or up in the New England states, the bastion of liberality that they are, and here they are, it comes and it flows down and comes out. I'm telling you, my friends, you're going to end up in the furnace. Every one of us are going to end up in the furnace if you stand for anything. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 17. Mark chapter number 4. Let's just get verse number 16. It said, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's why people, Brother Derek, are so offended. That's why they end up going through that, because the word of God offends them. The word of God has no root. It's not established in them. My friends, this church can take hard preaching. I assure you that. This church can take it. I don't care who's dishing it out. If they can take Pastor Feldman Cheek for almost 40 years, they can take me. I'm a lightweight. He's the cleanup batter behind little lightweights like me. He's forgot more Bible than I know. I'm going over the book of 2 Corinthians just a minute. I won't be but just a few more minutes. I just want to hit a couple of these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Let's get number 3. 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4 says, for if I make you sorry, I'm in verse number 2. Who is he that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you when I come. I should have sorrow for them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but you may know the love which I have more abundantly for you. Why is that? Where is that furnace of affliction taking us? Where is it? What's it birthed in? Why is that given towards you? It's because of love's sake. That's why Preacher Chris gets downright red-faced and preaches like he does. That's why Preacher Kenny and myself preach on these things. Why? Because of love's sake. Read that verse again. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it with your heart tonight. It says, I wrote the same unto you when I came. I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. You say, what is that all about? It's the Apostle Paul, knowing that he had been in perils of robbers and perils of thieves, perils of his own countrymen. He had been tossed over the ship. He had been beaten. He had been let down over the wall in a basket. He had been through all of this stuff, Ryan, but yet he still loved them. Why do you think he went through all that? For love's sake. He went through it. Why do you think that preachers preach like they do? It's for love's sake. Man, I love it whenever I see Robert Church come to the altar. You know why I love it, Brother Robert? Because I know that you've got three beautiful babies. I know that. I want them to know that their daddy was a praying man. I love it when a family comes together. I love it. I do. You said, what about them that come up there every time the doors are open? I don't worry about them, Brother Ken. I don't worry about you girls that come every time that we have an altar call. I don't worry about y'all at all. I do worry about them that's never been up there. Those are the ones that I worry about. Brother Grant, you ever felt like you've been in a furnace? You know what? The Bible says that whenever we're tried, what's the Bible say? What did Job say? He said, whenever I'm tried, he said, I'm going to come out on the other side like what? He said, I'm going to come out like gold. It ain't going to burn up. It'll last. It'll be purified. I heard Preacher Feldman preach one time. He said something about boil the dross or cutting the, he's talking about that imperfected metal. He'd scrape it off the top. He's just boil it out. That's what the fire will do. It'll make the difference in the metal. Chris, what are you made of? When the fires come, are you going to come forth as gold? Are you going to come forth as some kind of pewter or other lesser metal? I hope you come forth as gold. I'm going to read one more verse. Jude chapter number 18. You say, I don't even know where Jude's at. It's right before you get to the book of the Revelation. The Bible said that there are murmurers, complainers, in verse number 16, complainers walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own lust, own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. That's how we end up in affliction. They don't have the Spirit. That's how Nebuchadnezzar made such a foolish decree, that if you don't serve me, if you don't bow down and do what I say, you're going to end up in the furnace. That's whenever Daniel, when he was thrown into that den that was filled with lions, he said, I'm not going to bow. It's going to be a price to pay if you don't bow. That's the price I'm willing to pay. Tonight, all over the church house, let's stand. And if you've been in that furnace of affliction, can I help you a little bit by saying just stand? Just keep standing. It's okay. When it gets a little hot, just keep on standing. When it seems like I can't make it, keep on standing. It was almost as if, and I know this is crazy talk, it was almost as whenever it happened, Brother Chris, when your family came. It seems like when there's an infusion of new people, and I've been in the furnace, it's like Brother Chris just shows up and starts doing this to me. It's like when you showed up, you're like, here, let me cool you off a little bit. Let me help you a little bit with your affliction. Brother Kenny, when you come in, how many times have I told y'all, man, y'all come at the perfect time? I needed you. And you know what you're doing when I'm in the heat? Y'all are just here to help me. Just helping me, you're just fanning me. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing? Feed him and fan him. Preach, preacher, preach. Yep. We got you. And you know what that does? Man, it emboldens me. Brother Kippy, when y'all showed up, you say, Kippy and Melissa Hamby have a future before Calvary. Their daughter and my daughter were roomies. We were roomies. They were roomies before we ever come here. Little did I know that y'all would be here and I'd be your pastor. But you know when you showed up, Brother Kippy? Y'all come at the right time. Chad, when you showed up over here, you married into it. But you know what? You could have took Kayla and went wherever you were going. But you come over here. And Sharon said, no, he couldn't. I'm sorry. Praying for your mother-in-law. We've all got them. Miss Macy, come over here, honey, at the piano. Brother Scott, whatever you've got on your heart.